let's start with the Bar Kappara story.
So how was the Bar Kappara story used in the Bible?
The stories aren't, as the events that happen, aren't that different.
There were prunes. What are kaplutim? Do we know?
Crow.
What? A crow. Right. So it's different. I don't know what kaplutim is, some kind of vegetable. It might be a crow. Right? So we had prunes, cabbage, and chicken wings. And one of the Talmidim, in the Bible he's given, it's a little different, he's given Rishus. And the Yerushalmi, it's Kafat, I think.
Yeah.
And makes a bracha, eats the chicken wings. Makes a bracha, eats the chicken wings. And then one laughs, and we wind up with two dead students. That's the common denominator between the stories. So as the stories go, they're not actually different. But what is the purpose of the story in the Bible? The purpose that it's used for there is shlachos. To talk about what the bracha, and what does it prove?
Well, it's trying to prove that shlachos is shako.
I mean, the Bible is nothing if it's like a grand scheme of things.
What's that?
I think nothing in the grand scheme of things. It proves this.
Okay, it's trying to prove shlachos shahako. Doesn't prove anything. Okay. But clearly, that's not the point of the story, even in the Bible. That's why the Bible uses it. What is presumably the point of the story on some level, which is inescapable, Ezra? Maybe, not necessarily, because I don't think that's what's going on in the Yerushalmi. What does Kedimos mean? That term is used in our Sugya the Bavli, and you have to translate it carefully. What does it mean? I understand. What does it mean? What does it mean? Precedence, Shimmy.
When you have multiple bracha, which do you first?
Yeah, and kedimos implies that you're doing both. Tadir v'sheino tadir kodem implies that you do both, but you do the tadir first. So, mikadein is to go first. You're making both brachos, but you go first. Now, is that explicit in the Bavli?
The Bavli is less so because it's not as clear that one of them is. I think it's both our two are Hadama and one Shakal. Right?
Well, we don't know about.
If Lev is a Shakal, then you're only making one breath anyway.
Are you? That and the chicken wings, but there's definitely the durmastin, which they're either hadamah or eats, but they're definitely not shahakal. Let's assume for the moment they're prunes, but that's Tosis doesn't like that. He thinks to be bar pri hadamah, so he thinks it's a kind of cabbage. Unless you think that durmastin is also cooked, but I don't think that's the case. Right, so he made a bracha. It's funny, and now I understand. Nasan Rashus Lecha Melvarech and Kafat Zubirech. I think we must have pointed this out when we read it.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Right, so the answer is Kafat is Yerushalmi. Okay. So he. So the Gemara suggests that it's the machlokas was over what the shlakos were. We don't know for sure about making two brachos. But we only talk about which bracha you're making, although presumably, if he was supposed to make the bracha, if shlakos were bari pri hadama. And we're not told what bracha he made, obviously, on the paragraph. Well, we know he made the paragraph. Mm-hmm. If shlakos is supposed to be a boy priyadema, then he should have made the bracha on that, which obviously then would mean he was making another bracha. Because, I mean, there is another possibility, but I don't think anybody would say that way. Is there any possibility, can you think of, why if he made a bracha on the shlakos, he would pass to the paragraph? Yeah. Ikar v'tafel. Now you're saying that that's not ikar v'tafel.
So the Rashba has a notion. He doesn't say it by, although I think he would agree with this. He's going to have two answers. I'm trying to remember what the question was. What was the case? Where he said it. I can't remember now what the ikar v'tafel was. It's not, I didn't put it on the course. But he raises the possibility, a havamina, that if something is, you have a chavid and a non-chavid, I think it's the Rashba, unless it's in the Sefer Haredim, I don't think so. If you have a chavid and a non-chavid, the chavid might be considered ikar. Now you could say the same thing by a kruv, if it's zan, if that's what the Babli of Bas says, that the kruv is zan, so maybe you would make a bracha on the kruv and you would pater the pargios. Even though the kruv would be hadama, and the pargios would be shahatol. And normally hadama doesn't pater shahatol. Okay. So either way, so it's not clear for the Babli that it's about kedimus, that's right? It might very well be about kedimus, but we can't tell for sure. But let's take a look at the Yerushalmi for a moment. What's going on in the Yerushalmi? So let's, I think I put it on your sheet. So let's read the story in the Yerushalmi. Story time. Lewis. They brought Pargan, Achavina, and Kapalutin. So Pargan, we can assume, is Pargios. Kapalutin is Kuruv. And what is Achvaya, Achvanaya?
Isn't it called...
Pneumosha just fills it in based upon the Babli. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think there may be some type of vegetable, a lettuce or something.
The way that Sfari translated is something called Rakush or something, which is called mountain orash.
Yeah.
Which is mountain spinach.
Okay, that's a lettuce. I mean, a kind of lettuce.
Yeah. It's just based on the plant is like kind of like a stalk, so it would be like a so it might be high.
Okay. Well, it's not clear it's eight here at all.
You're right.
It's right. Here it's Haitz. Not clear in the Bible. Okay, so now what does the Yerushalmi say? Okay, so if you make a bracha on the Kaplutim, you will pater the Achvanayasa, but you won't pater the Pargios. That makes sense, because the Kaplutin is Hadama, and the Pargios are Shahako. And what is the Achvanayasa so far? Or Hadama. Either right now. The next line makes it impossible. Right now it could be Hadama or Ha'etz, but it's not Shahako. Next. Lodein v'lodein. If you make the bracha nach barayasa, you will not exempt either of the other two. Okay. So what happens? Okay, so one of them jumps up. He doesn't wait anymore. They're still discussing. And he must be really hungry. And he just grabs the chicken wings and makes the bracha. He makes the bracha of shahakol. And then what happens? His friend laughs at him. Right. It's not clear exactly what this phrase means. The Babli understands this story as the first thing, and this story obviously is happy in Eretz Yisrael because Bar Kapara is like first generation Amoraim, almost a Tana. So the Babli understands the story as first he got angry at the guy who was malaglev. He said, if your friend is like he's never had chicken wings before, and that's why he made a bracha on it, what are you mocking? But then he says, ve'asa.
Ve'asa.
So
So right, so far that's consistent. Why did you laugh? But then. Right. In other words, why were you ahead of your hakofetz barosh? You should have waited. Yosef said, two down, and we don't know what the, we still don't know what you're supposed to do. So, right, so there's a big question what the gear says here. The way it's read here, Mistabra Mavarech ala Kapluta, because Shakol Nievid Varo, it's Feilala. So, what does that mean? There are two things actually this implies. Got it?
So if the shakol is tafel, which is a pargito, and he makes it on the kaputin, he would be poted the akbanya, and he wouldn't have to make it on the pargito. So that
and
he wouldn't have to make it back on the pargito.
Either.
Right. Because it's a lavo.
Okay, now as I'm speaking, I know that's two gersos, but you don't really need to change the gers to get two gersos. So you're saying that the pargios are tafel, the kapluta. Why? It's not the way any of you would think, but why?
It's not the primary dish.
Yeah, the zan, again, the korv is zan. That's what, you know, at least what it says in the Baal Nedar. You know, Rabbi Akiva says, afilu achal shalach u'mazona. It makes no sense to us how cabbage could be your primary source of sustenance. It's a great source of fiber, but it's not a great source of calories. So good luck, because you're going to run out of energy. But, for whatever reason, the pargios are tafel to the kaput, and therefore you make a bracha on the ikar and your chotur is a tafel. However, if read literally, what does the Yerushalmi say?
Nope.
Shakol is a less important bracha. I think the Sefer Haredim doesn't like this. I think he's the one who doesn't like this because we don't find ikar v'tafel in brachas. We find ikar v'tafel in foods. The terminology is very odd. Now, either way, even if you take the latter, if you take the former, we're not talking about kedima, Ezra. We're talking about which bracha do you make. You make one, and that's the only one you make. Now, if you read it as shahakol is tafel, it's not entirely clear, but the way those who have that girsa understand it is that it, I think also probably, I don't know what they would say, is it kedima or not? It's not entirely clear, right?
At least that
the
way it's
behaving
to the
Yerushalmi
because the earlier in time, the shekel sounds like it's how can you minimize the number of rocks that you're making.
Right, and therefore, it should pater everything. It should pater even the parties. Okay, so, but what emerges from this story is when you have different meaning, we have no shivasa meaning here, it certainly sounds from this Yerushalmi that we're talking about a one bracha patering other foods. Now, here's my question for you. If you make ha'adama on a potato, and you plan on eating an apple as well, and the apple is on the table, do you make ha'etz on the apple? Right?
We would.
What? We would. That's correct. We would. We would make ha'etz on the apples, because you're reading with the maskana of the Gemara as understood by Rashi, certainly, maybe most others, but we would make a bracha ha'etz on the fruit. Ah, but if you make a borei pri ha'adama on an apple, you don't say, so why do you make a borei pri? It's Jake. Ronnie? So that's what it's saying. If you make ha'adama on an apple, you make ha'adama on an apple, then you're potter. You don't have to make another bracha. But if you make ha'adama on a potato, and now you want an apple, your kavanah wasn't to go on the apple, your kavanah is going to the potato. You know intention of it. That's the way we like to think. That's not so simple. That is not simple at all.
It's not simple from the Mishnah alone.
No.
If you just read the Mishnah, you can't make that deduction.
No.
If you did it by accident.
Nope. The Mishnah happens to be talking about a case rather where you're only eating one thing, a fruit, tree fruit, and you happen to make a Hadamah. Right? It might very well be, it might be, the way Rashi says, the way the Shulchan Aruch will paskin, that when you have an apple, if you made Hadamah on Hadamah stuff, it doesn't pop to the apple without your intent to pop to the apple. Or it might be that the Bracha Hadamah is not different than when you make Hamotzi, if you want to say. It works in a different way. But it's a bracha which would include apples, and if you're eating apples and you intend to eat apples, that covers the apple.
Isn't Hamotzi used with tafel?
No. It's not tafel, not in the classic sense. Jam on your toast is tafel.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't tafel in the classic sense either. I mean, isn't it similar thing that...
Okay, but the difference is that bread is the ikar hasuda.
Right.
It's easy to understand that. It's much harder to understand this.
You haven't even made the bracha on the bread yet. You can't be like...
For what?
We haven't gotten to bread yet here.
Yeah.
We're not discussing bread. Not yet.
Yeah.
Jake?
But if you understand like the second reading, the bracha of Shahako itself is tafel, it doesn't have to be talking about kinima. It's not going to be that your bracha of dama hatus the hajo. So it is kinima.
Possibly, unless you said right. I think that if you say the bracha is a tafel, what that means is that it is a less hush of a bracha. Yes, it probably means you're talking about kedima. Yes. Okay. So now let's go to the second, the really hard Yerushalmi.
That one was hard.
This is the really hard Yerushalmi. Now, one of the challenges in reading this passage is, how would you have read it if you didn't have the Bafle? I don't know how many of you drew any connections between this passage and the Bafle, because on the surface, it looks like it has nothing to do with it. Did you think there were any connections?
I had told you something, so...
We're all in trouble now. Okay. I can say anything I want now. All right. The disadvantage you're at is that your chavrusa shir doesn't do so many Yerushalmis. Not this one. So it's not like you get a head start on it as much.
I made it with me.
What's that?
I made it with me, and we wasn't either. We didn't know what was
happening. Okay. So let's take a look at the Yerushalmi now. Who would like to read this Yerushalmi? Rami.
Okay.
So we have a machlokes hayu lefanav minim harday. Whether you make a bracha on the min of the shivas haminim and assumes one of them is shivas haminim, the other or others are not, or mevarech al esim mehen sheyirtze. Now, this is not our issue right now, but I just want to bring this to your attention because I think that this is a big issue in the Rishonim, even though they don't always articulate it. Some don't explicitly because they made a whole distinction. What does it mean, al esem ehem sheyirtze? There are two possibilities here.
Well, the two possibilities are either you could pick whichever, it doesn't matter, or you have to say it on whichever one you like most.
Like arbitrary versus the certain guideline.
You can't take the best for last, so to speak.
Well, why would you pick one first if you don't like them?
Maybe you're one of those children who was able to resist and waited the 15 minutes or the 10 minutes and get two Oreo cookies or not. I don't know. But maybe you have your reasons. Again, which do you eat first? I need to find out. I need to know. Do you eat the side of the Oreo with the cream or without the cream first?
Then that's an issur d'oraisa.
For those who don't buy the issur d'oraisa, what? You're talking about him. That's not acceptable. For those who split the cookie, because you eat an Oreo, you have to split it now.
I used to do it, really, and now I don't. I'm an adult. You split it and scoop it.
You must be kidding me.
That's actually
is that the Chabad way?
You split the Oreo cookie, you take one in the half, and you scoop the cream from the other half.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? It's already on the cookie. Why don't you just
do it
again?
The last for me.
You have one cookie that doesn't have any cream on it.
Never mind. I shouldn't have asked. I thought I would have insight into your character. Now I have none. Now I think I'm just surrounded by crazy people. Okay. So, Brian was thinking, and you didn't know that already? All right. So that's a question. Does that mean chaviv? Because the Gemara, we use that term. Is that chaviv a permanent chaviv or a chaviv at the moment? And is there a distinction between those two?
That's
the Rambam. The Rambam, in order to understand the Rambam, you have to, you know, everybody, most of the Rishonim that I saw talk about chaviv versus the one that you want happen to want now. And the Rambam makes no such distinction. Right. Okay. I think for the Rambam, whatever you want now is called the chaviv. There are only two possibilities. There are three possibilities. There's not Shiva Saminim, Chaviv, and Eze Shiyurtsa. It's Shiva Saminim and Eze Shiyurtsa. Okay. So now comes the Yerushalmi. Go ahead.
The Yerushalmi and the Yerushalmi. Ma Piligran, the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi, the Shayam, the Dachto, the Echol Pat. Well, in the Dachto, the Echol Pat, Ho Adma, Modayev, Shinishman, and Yishra, Allah, the Nevarev.
Okay. So what's interesting about the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who is Modeh to whom? Chacham to Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
Okay, the Chachamim are Modeh to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying that they only argue in some cases, but not in others. So what's the case that they argue in? Which means?
He knew he wanted to eat bread.
I once said he knew. I would say his intention was that he's going to eat bread. When is he going to eat this bread?
After this.
After he has this fruit, these fruits. These fruits are like the appetizers. You don't have fruits that are appetizers. Sometimes people will serve melon, grapefruit. Yeah, fruit, that's an appetizer. Grapes are not usually an appetizer. Yeah.
So why would having bread host appetizers have anything to do with which appetizer you choose?
Pretty much. Yeah, like how is this a cup L or a car if you're having it after you're eating?
Good question.
So in the first you have your show me have what to say.
Sure they do.
Well, let's what the Moshe says, I think actually, and this is not what you should find in the case, is more compelling than what the Balsefer Haregim says. But let's talk about what the Moshe says. I assume by the way, when I asked you to look at the Yerushalmi, that you go and you say, and you have a digital version I sent you a little bit back. You have the entire Yerushalmi with commentaries. So I hope that you will look at the commentaries. Did anybody look at the Pnei Moshe or the Sefer Haredim? All right, so what does the Pnei Moshe have to say? Shimon?
He says that this is a case where you're having the fruits as an appetizer, and since you're going to soon eat the bread, you don't need to say a bracha harona on the fruits because it's considered b'machmasa suda, and so the bracha mazon that you'll end up saying on the bread will be poter the bracha harona for the fruits. And because of that, the Rabbanan say, since you're going to say Dercha Mazon on everything, there's no longer a distinction that Shivat Hamim have a better bracha, because normally they would have Al Ha'etz versus Brain of Fashas, and therefore you would have a priority on. Wait, did I forget to say what?
Has anybody understood it so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
What's that?
Never mind.
I understand what you said.
I just confused myself for thinking.
No. What you said was correct. Firstly, how did the Pnei Moshe know that was the case? It's going to be true for the Baal Sefer Haredim as well. How did he know? Well, Shimi hasn't fully explained why is it that you have to make the bracha on the Shiva Saminim when you're not eating bread. Jay?
So it seems like it's preferable to get a main challenge. That is the bracha of
Bona. You're going to get a main challenge right now?
No. If you have bread, what bracha achronos will you make? If you don't have bread, what bracha achronos will you make? You'll make a main challenge. Now, technically speaking, although I don't know that this is explicit in the Babli or Yerushalmi, but it doesn't really matter, what bracha, when you make have an apple and you have grapes, what bracha achrona do you make?
You make just aleitz.
Yeah. It exempts the bari nefashos. Because bari nefashos is not a bari nefashos, but assume in the context of the Gemara, there is no bari nefashos here. Certainly not here.
Yeah.
Like in Vavel, by the time you get to X generation, they're starting to say bari nefashos on things. But certainly, it's not Rabbi Yitzhak? It's the second stage, which he says it on Yarke, which I presume would include non-shemitic fruits as well. So if you are having an apple, a pomegranate, and then you're having bread afterwards, you're going to make Berachas HaMatzah. If you're having an apple and a pomegranate only, and you're not having bread, you're going to make a main challenge. So why does that dictate which fruit that you should make the bracha? That's nice. Okay, so we're learning the idea of a bracha for it.
Apparently, if you make it on the apple, maybe you would say,
No, that can't be. You surely doesn't believe in Bar Nefashos the way the Babi does. We have no evidence to that.
So you make the main shavos anyway.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Yeah. Shimmy?
You want to make the bracha rishona on the fruit that has a better bracha corona.
You might even say that yes, you want to make the bracha rishona on the fruit that's going to get the bracha corona. It's odd to make the bracha rishona on the apple and then the bracha corona on the grapes. Better to make the bracha rishona on the fruit and the bracha corona, which happens to cover, and they both cover the apple. That's what Pnei Moshe understands in Yerushalmi. The difference of whether or not you have pas afterwards is whether or not you can make a bracha achrona. If you're making a birchas hamazon and it's covering everything, it doesn't matter what you made the bracha rishona on. Because either way, the bracha achrona is not being tailored to either fruit. Whereas, if you're not having pas afterwards, so then the bracha achrona is in fact tailored to that fruit that you made the bracha rishona on. Now, stop for a moment and contemplate. I don't know how many of you have peeked at the Bavli. What brachos are we talking about making on these two food items, the Shiva Saminim and the non-Shiva Saminim? Are we talking about making the same bracha? Are we talking about making different brachos? This, by the way, the Pnei Moshe doesn't spell out, but you should be able to extrapolate, in my opinion. Mr. Green Dots.
Same bracha?
Okay, why do you say that?
Because they're both fruits. Well, I guess, how do we know that?
Ezra.
There's so many differences, the Shiva Aminim and not Shiva Aminim.
So?
And that doesn't make a different bracha we share. What the fuck do you make out of an apple? Brian?
He assumes that we're going to show us the pan, because in order to assume that there couldn't be any difference between them, you have to assume that they have the same bracha we share.
Why? Explain. Skeptics.
He wants to assume that the only difference between them could be bracha achrona.
No. Shimmy, don't make me scare you. Just because I'm a big ogre who's going to scream at you, you get it wrong? Yeah?
Do you hear the simplest case?
No, it's because you're only making a bracha on one of them.
Spell it out.
So if each one is going to be closer to the other, then they have to have the same bracha.
Okay, I think you understand, but you're saying it in this way. Brian?
If you want the one that's getting alleged to happen when it's not getting alleged, and the one that's not getting alleged can be vegetable because AIDS is not going to pass a vegetable.
No, it's not true. I believe if you eat potatoes and you eat grapes, I think the ala AIDS pot is potatoes.
What? Really?
Yes, it's Paris. Alaris on Paris out. I believe that it pot. It's not just fruit. It's not just fruit.
Isn't
fruit.
That against the Mishnah? No.
No, not bracha chrono. Mishnah doesn't require bracha chrono on Paris.
I mean, you want...
Sorry, what did you say again?
If you want to say the bracha Rishona on the king which is getting ala eitz at the end, then the one that's not getting ala eitz has to nifta with or priya eitz, so it can't be a vegetable. Yeah. How can Hakamim say that you can make an adama ha'es on the apple and he protects the grape,
either I'm just totally out to lunch and missing something, or you guys are missing something.
Should we?
What are we making one bracha of? I'm not sure how we do that.
What would be the case if you had a Bore Priha Adama and a Bore Priha Eitz here? Or a Shahakol and a Bore Priha Eitz? Yes.
Oh.
Okay, and how does that solve any problems?
Shimon? Because it's Shita, that if we have Ha'etz and Adama, we say the Ha'etz first. So it's only a question. No.
I truly must be wrong here, because this is a classroom full of relatively smart people. The concern is that if you're going to make a bracha achrona, you want it to connect to the thing that you made the bracha Rishon on, right? If it's an issue of having an apple and having a potato, if you have to make two brachas on the thing before, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. You don't have to make on the Shivas Hamidim. You know why? Because let's say you make Hadama on the potato, and you make ha'etz then, and I understand what I'm saying. You make ha'etz then on the grapes,
yeah.
And you're going to make what bracha chona al ha'etz,
yeah.
And what's that going to go on?
On the bracha that you made beforehand. Mm-hmm.
It's only a problem, at least the way the pneuma. You don't have to agree with this, by the way.
Is this not what everyone else is saying?
Did anybody explain that?
No. Okay.
I thought you may have understood that in your head, but you didn't articulate it.
Okay,
if you have an apple and a grape, so you're making one bracha bore prei eitz, and you're making one, if you're making a bracha chrona, meaning if in dacha lechol pas, so then, if you only get to make one bracha before, and you make it on a non-shivas haminim, but the bein shalosh is going on the shivas haminim fruit, you have to disconnect between your bracha ishan and bracha chrona. But once you make two brachas before, and you only have to make one bracha afterwards because there's no chiyuv of a bracha on the potatoes, on the bore prei adama. So then the bracha main shalosh memela chaters ha'etz. So he almost says it, not quite explicitly, but if that's the case, what would Rabbi Yosef, if the Pnei Rosh is correct, if I'm understanding correct, and I think I am, what is Rabbi Yosef and Levi saying? That the machlokis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is limited to a case of birchoseihem shavos.
Mm-hmm.
Where would I ever get such an idea? It's not fair because most of you haven't gotten this far. Yeah, that's the big machlokis in the Bavli, which is also attributed to Yamar Ramavar Yisra, which is the machlokis Rabbi. That's probably why. You had trouble getting at the Yerushalmi because you had what the Pnei Moshe, probably because you didn't realize that the Bavli. So I apologize. Now I understand why it might be hard. If you haven't seen the Bavli's discussion is going to focus on what the Machlokas is only when Birchos Seihem Shavos, but when in Birchos Seihem Shavos, although it's different than Yerushalmi, Divrei Hakol Mevarech Hazeh B'Chos Mevarech Hazeh.
Yeah.
The reason why I was Meramis to you earlier than in the Yerushalmi, the Chacham Amodim from Yehuda, it's the point that it never really shown to me. Because there may be more than one way to read the Bavli, but most of the Rishonim point in the direction of saying, of course, Rabbi Yehuda is no different than Chacham. The Bavli says, there's no machlokas. You know why? Because you make both brachas, and then you make a bracha, and that's not a problem. It's when you're only going to make one bracha, Now, which one do you make the bracha? There's a second sheet in the Yerushalmi, which means it's going to be a totally different understanding. That's why this sugi is so difficult. It's a difficult sugi. The Bavli is a little easier than the Yerushalmi, as you might imagine. Starters who have commentators who I like to think were better at their art because they were closer to, because they had a Masorah. A much better Masorah than the Mefarshei Yerushalmi had. Number one, the Mefarshei Yerushalmi lived hundreds of years later than the Mefarshei Bavli. Number two, nobody had a Masorah in Yerushalmi. Whereas the Bavli, they were studying continuously for hundreds of years. But the Bavli has a second sheet which says that no, they argue in both cases. Whether you're making only one bracha rishona, or you're making multiple brachos rishonas, still there's a machlokas from Yehuda Chacham which you make the bracha. So one of the questions I'm curious about, because it's an obvious question, the Bavli's machlokas is an obvious question. That's what is the scope of Rabbi Yehuda Chacham's machlokas? One bracha, multiple brachos. It's a pretty obvious question, right? It's not somebody invents this and sticks it into the text. It's a question that really you have to ask the question. Right? How you lefana minim harbe. In fact, on some level, what does it mean how you lefana minim harbe? Because I believe that this is the machlokas hamaran. Take your feet and your hands in your sweatshirt. What are the choices? Fine.
Minim in that sense was used on all the previous constraints where it refers to different types of foods, or meaning different brothels categories of foods, or meaning different colloquially types of
species
of foods.
Yeah. Right. And that's the machlokas amongst the in the Bavli, in the Bavli Orion, is what does it mean, minim harbe? Does it mean species, or does it mean categories of brachos, which is what we've been dealing with in the Mishnah for a while? Right? It's not that is what the machlokas revolves around. If you say it means species, and he's saying the same brach, that's what Ula's going to say. But the Gemara then quotes the machlokas Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. Nobody knows who says which. Whether or not it's Birchoseim Shavos, it means it's species, it's apple, and oranges, and pears, and grapefruits. Or it means categories of brachos. You had a ha'etz, and you had a adama, and you had a shahat all in front of you. So I don't know for sure we can tell Pshat and the Yerushalmi what they're thinking about that question, but all we know, the first thing we know is that they argue, we don't haven't seen any argument yet between them alone, but Rabbi Shiva Levi says that the machlokas of Yehuda Chachamim is limited to cases where there is no bracha achrona. When there's a bracha achrona, so then there's no machlokas that you have to make the bracha on the Shiva Samir. Now, how did... No. A bracha achrona, not bracha samazon. When there's bracha samazon, that's where there's a machlokas of Yehuda Chachamim. You're not making a bracha achrona on the fruit. I mean, you're making a bracha that covers it. But you don't make the bracha achrona on the food. The bracha achrona is on the bread.
It's weird because we usually think of pots as like suda, but this comes before the suda.
Well, you have appetizers. What, you have to go to a wedding, go to a dinner,
that's the
shalom.
It's a suda. It's a suda shalom.
Of course it is. Of course it is. What do we call those things?
Oh, there's
appetizers?
Yeah. What are horse d'oeuvres? They're appetizers. I don't know. What does hors d'oeuvres mean anyway? Can anybody actually spell hors d'oeuvres without seeing it?
It's
H-O-R-S. It's horse d'oeuvres or something like that. I don't know what that is. The only name that's equally hard to pronounce in this country is Havre de Grasse, which is that place in Maryland. That's how they pronounce it, Havre de Grasse. Just have fun spelling that in a ksuba. I did once, actually. I sent that out to my Masader Gidna, the Jaff, and said, just tell me how to spell Havre de Grasse. There are YouTube videos, people who live there talking about how they pronounce it. So, first the Ervers is the other one. They're appetizers. What is an appetizer?
Do they have
to
get a study on that?
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
As
yes. Part of the,
yeah.
Yes. Cocktails. They would sit and have wine before the meal. We're going to find the price in that, oh, yeah. In that layer in part. They would bring cups of wine before they sat down for the meal. They'd have a little wine to get them ready.
It was cold, right?
No, that's not an appetizer. That's an end in its own right. It's not a means to an end. It's just to get inebriated or to bring
the
that's yes.
Shimmy.
You said that that there could be an argument about minim, whether it means min the species or min take a bracha category. But when is min used as a bracha category?
In the Mishnah, a bracha category, shimmy, typically flows out of the type of food it is.
Right.
So a min could, when we say minim harbe, we had peros ha'ilan, peros ha'adama,
right, but it never uses the word min.
What?
Never uses the word min.
Okay, and my question...
Min usually means a species.
Sometimes. Where in the Mishnah has the word min been used?
The only time was in the bracha of the Shai.
Yeah, exactly.
Min though, plural.
So my point is, you don't know which it refers to. Rani?
So, why... My question is, if they're not on the same in Yerushalayim, right, if you're dealing with a grape and a tater, right, so they agree that if you know you're going to have bread, right?
No, they don't agree. And that's what the
bracha
is. If you're not going to have bread...
You're not eating bread, because your bracha haruna is going to be Meir Shalosh. So there has to be a connection to the first group, the first bracha,
correct.
Right. So then what is that hachamim? In other words, if the Yudah says it has to be connected to the ha'ez, the bet you're making, the ha'chanan, so why would hachamim say...
It don't. If it has to be, if there's only one bracha rishona, and the bracha chorona has to be connected to that, so the chachamim amodet to Rabbi Yehuda.
You have to make it.
You have to make it on the Shiva Hamim. If you're going to be eating bread, when you make no bracha harona on the fruit, then it doesn't matter which one you make the bracha on.
But can you say that it could also be shavim, like a grape and an apple? Hachamim would still be modeh. If it was a grape and an apple without bread, Hachamim would still be modeh.
No, that's specifically where they would be modeh. You don't want an unmoored bracha acharona. An untethered bracha acharona. So if you're making birkat hamazon, then there's no direct connection between that and either fruit that you eat before.
So that's what I understand.
But if you're not making birkat hamazon and you have to make bracha achat me'in shalosh, so then, you had a choice. Did you make the borei peri ha'etz on the apple or on the grapes?
Yeah.
And since the apple doesn't require the beracha achat me'in shalosh, if you made the borei peri ha'etz on the apple, there's no connection between that, the beracha rishona and the beracha achorna. Whereas if you make the beracha on the grapes, now you have a connection. But that's only necessary, A, if you're making a beracha achorna, and B, if you're only making one beracha rishona on one of the fruits that you have to choose. If you have to make a borei peri ha'adama on the potato and a borei peri ha'etz on the grape, it's not a problem. Because there will be a connection between the beracha rishona and the beracha achorna. And you don't, here's about the borei peri ha'adama you made, so the grape you made that bracha. It doesn't require a beracha achorna.
And that's agreed upon, like an
apple alone? No, an apple
alone? Yes.
If you eat an apple alone,
there is no.
The Mishnah, we learn the Mishnayot.
Right.
All you have is the Birkat HaMazon, which is a machloket on what it goes. But the Chachamim say that all the other Shivat HaMinim are Me'in Shalosh. Only later do the Amoraim and Bavel start to use Varei Nefashot. First on animal products, then on other produce of the earth that's not covered in the first two, and then finally on water. Ezra.
Maybe we originally we could say that we have grapes and an apple in front of us. We make the bracha, and we just eat one of the things that we like. We can make clearly behavioral, and it's just interesting that we make it like very intent oriented, which allows for things like making the bracha on each specific food from the bracha, which you mentioned, versus like that concept seems pretty novel.
Okay, well, I mean.
Possibly I get their own, are special, right? They get a single thing, but they get their
whole
bracha.
The
Shiva Haminim don't get their own bracha. They just
get precedence. Maybe. Right. Again, it's not because the Shiva Haminim get precedence here. It's because you like the idea of a bracha rishon and bracha chorona connection.
Right.
since no other fruits have a bracha achrona, and you have to make a bracha achrona, it's going to be, you know, you want the connection. Right.
Just on the, I mean, psychosocial aspect of the bracha. I think that the comments in the Mishnayos and the other Tanakh sources, it seems to be a lot more focused on the source to the context. And it's all the stories are this way also. It's almost more ceremonial. And we sort of think of bracha as we're very much on like it's a matir, and everyone sort of says the bracha to themselves.
You mean we have a very sterile religion?
It's very personal.
Sardim are much more spiritual communal in that sense, I think.
But the idea more of having the brachos or the
chalas. No, I'm wrong.
To clarify, we can't deduce whether it's Shavuot or Enan Shavuot, because Hakamim would agree to do that.
No.
Why? In other words, if there's no bread, they agree to make it, whether it's...
No, that's my point. If there's no bread, but the brachot are not shavot, then the chachamim should once again... The only reason why the chachamim are modet to Rabbi Yehuda in a case of ein dato le'achol pat is because the bracha achrona will go on the grapes, but the bracha rishona went on the apple. But that's the reason why they would be modet, that you have to give precedence. It's not precedence to the Shiva HaMinim. It's that you want the bracha rishona, when you make a bracha achrona, you want it to be connected to the bracha rishona. But if you had two brachot rishona and only one bracha achrona, and it only connects to one of them, that's fine, because that's the same set. That's not your fault as the mevarech. It's the fault of the chachamim who never made a second bracha for the bracha
priyadam. But then why would the Yerushalmi specifically instead of like this one? For Lager Jew, they said it like that. Meaning, why don't we just write a Mishnah more, like, without this whole bread case?
You mean, why not state it explicitly, clearly, the way the Bavli does?
I mean,
why not say that I hold up.
Learn the Mishnah without this bread and then just say it, stay a case. I mean, this just sounds like more than Shabbat, the Mishnah, right? Like, there's no bread here, right?
I didn't want
to. Okay, I mean, I think if you read the Mishnah straight, I think it makes sense to read this Mishnah flowing into the next Mishnah we'll talk about. I mean, Havrahs before the meal, then the phrase will be this, these are the Havrahs.
Okay, interesting. I wasn't thinking, you know, I don't know, but here's where I'm coming from, Eitan, which is, I once again go back to my theme that the Bavli is a commentary on the Yerushalmi. And I am inclined to, without the Mefarshim, before they even say anything, I'm inclined to wonder whether or not they were reading the Yerushalmi in a particular way. Right, there is a machlokas in the Yerushalmi. We haven't even gotten to the second day'ah. And that second day'ah is actually what makes a little clearer what the first opinion is. I want to sketch that piece out as well. So your question may be a good question. In other words, well, you have to ask what is driving the Yerushalmi? That's really the question you have to ask. What is driving the Yerushalmi? And the Bavli, I think, understood it in a certain way. I think that the opinion here of Rabbi Shuba Levi is Ula's opinion. Machlokes v'shkishein berchoseim, kishabirchoseim shavos. That's not... Rabbi Shuba Levi says something totally different. He doesn't focus on the brachos, rishonos, he focuses on the brachos achronos, but you see that the Mela has concern. His concern is only when there is a bracha achrona being made. That's the only time that the chachamim would be moda to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Let's hold on. There's, by the way, a different way of reading this, which is the Sefer Haredim. Let's wait on that a second. Read the next line, Rani. You're in. You're the man.
Amar Rabbi Abba. Sarif Toref Maso.
Okay.
Rabbi Abba says you have to make a bracha chon. That's like such a great statement. Take it in a vacuum.
Do you know?
So you can only understand what he meant based upon the next line in the Yerushalm. Okay. Now, so Ezra, the way I explained to you, which is correct, I mean, fundamentally, the way the Pnei Moshe and the Sefer Haredim will get to the notion that for Rabbi Yoshua, it has to do with the Bracha Achrona, Yeshua ben Levi, is because they quote Rabbi Abba, who says it requires a Bracha Achrona, and they say he disagrees with their Yeshua ben Levi. Now, what that means is that in a case where you eat fruit and then you eat bread, Rabbi Abba says before you eat the bread, you have to make a Bracha Achrona. We discussed this issue in the Mishnah Berurah. In the Mishnah Berurah, at the end of, I forget which siman it was, he just, because it's not really spoken about in the Shulchan Aruch. What happens if you want to eat food before the meal? So on the one hand, if it's not really part of the meal and you could wait, it might be a Bracha Shechicha. But let's say you really like having the food as an appetizer before you have the bread. So the Mishnah Berurah said as follows. If it's not an appetizer, and then if the food is the kind of food that you would have to make the bracha rishona on during the meal, let's say it's dates. Right? If they bring out dates during the meal, you have to make a berachah. It's davashen shabbat shalom echmas asuda. So if you want to have a date before, you make a bracha rishona, and you don't have to make a bracha achrona. Why? Because the date, the bracha on the date, the ha'etz, will cover any dates that are eaten after you wash, which otherwise you would have to make, and therefore, and I don't know if he says if you have to eat any dates during the meal, the date you eat before is connected to the date you eat during the meal, no bracha achrona. But let's say you had a food, let's say you had potatoes before, some french fries, okay? You're warming up. So they have french fries. Now if you have french fries in the middle of the meal, what bracha do you make on them? None. So therefore, if you make a bracha rishona before, it's not on the french fries. The french fries you eat before are not connected to the french fries you eat during the meal, and therefore you have to make a bracha achrona before you wash. But, unless it's an appetizer for the meal. So then, it suffices to have a bracha rishona on that, and that's fine. Whether or not you would need to make a bracha rishona on that appetizer during the meal, which presumably by definition you don't, because it's really part of the meal. So then it's okay to make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. Here might be I'm pretty sure it's the only source in the Bavli or Yerushalmi. I don't remember anything in the rest of the Torah, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing in the Bavli. We haven't seen anything yet, and I don't think there's anything in the rest of the Torah that addresses the issue of what you do if you eat food before the meal. Do you have to make a bracha achrona on that before you start the meal? They talk about drinking wine. They don't talk about bracha achrona, but that wine is clearly preparatory to the suda. The guests are waiting for everybody to arrive. They sit in the outer room. They bring them wine. They have a little bit of wine. Each person makes their own bracha because that's not a keva yet. And then when everybody has arrived, they go inside. They do a seva, and they might have to make another bracha on the wine. But bottom line is that that's all part of the suda. Nowhere else is it addressed. What do you do in such a case? Here, Rabbi Abba says that if you eat before the meal, you have to make a bracha achrona. Now, if that is so, then what? What emerges from that? Why do you know that he argues on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rami?
Because his point was that they agree, right? When you have bread, I think the point is that if you have the bread, then you don't make the beracha afterwards, because it covers it. Rabbi Abba is saying you have to make the beracha. You have to make the beracha.
No. I understand that part, but how did they know? Again, you're working backwards, Shimmy.
because Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi needs to have you not say a bracha acharona when you're eating bread afterwards, because otherwise they would
agree with one another. But once you say you always have to make a bracha acharona, you can no longer say that whenever you have to make a bracha acharona, the chachamim amod to Rabbi Yehuda that min shivakadim, because then they would always be moved to Rabbi Yehuda that min shivakadim, and it would be not machlokas shalom al yisrael. Wonderful, but there's machlokas here. So once you say that, Jake,
or there would be always machlokas.
Yes, correct. Yeah, but since there is a machlokas, you can't say it's limited to those cases. I mean, it doesn't matter. The bracha acharona is irrelevant, which means it has nothing to do with whether or not the bracha acharona you make is connected to the bracha rishona. It might be Rabbi Yehuda's shita, but the chachamim totally disagree with that. And if the chachamim totally disagree with that, if the chachamim don't have a svara that the bracha acharona must match up with the bracha rishona, so what does that open the door to? That they argue regardless. It doesn't mandate it, but it means that they argue across the board. It doesn't matter whether you had one bracha before or two brachas before. For Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, if you had two separate brachas on the fruits before, the chachamim would not be modeh to Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, they would not need to be modeh to Rabbi Yehuda. It's only when it's Birchos Seim Shavos that then Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi can say, in that case, it all depends whether you're having pas afterwards. Because if you're not having pas afterwards, the chacham are getting modeh to Rabbi Yehuda. Because one bracha rishona, bracha acharona shalosh, they have to connect. If you're eating pas afterwards, no bracha acharona, so the chacham say Rabbi Yehuda. For the Chachamim, the only issue is connecting the bracha rishona and bracha achrona. And when you don't need to connect them, either because there's no bracha achrona on the min shiva, or because the other food gets its own bracha and you get ha'itz on the min shiva. Either way, for the Chachamim, bracha rishona and bracha achrona are connected. So there's no machlokas, meaning Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi understands the machlokas when he says, when he distinguishes between whether you're eating pas or not eating pas, he's assuming that the discussion is taking place with one bracha before, with the same bracha before. And it could very well be, we don't know, it could very well be that when there is two brachas before, for sure the chacham are not voted from Yehuda, but we don't even know what Rabbi Yehuda's position is. We don't even know what Rabbi Yehuda's position is.
Why would the chacham be modeh in case there's two brachas? I'm saying if you have a yuvan.
Because even if you have a bracha achrona on the grapes, you may have poured grapes on the grapes. You may have poured them on the potatoes. And it might even be
that
the
that works.
What?
So doesn't that work? So why bother it? So that you're up.
Again, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that the machlokas is limited to a case where you're eating bread afterwards. When you're not eating bread, the chachamim omodet to Rabbi Yehuda that you have to make on the min shiva, because if you have a bracha achrona on the min shiva and you only have one bracha rishona for eight, you want that to be on the same thing you made the bracha achrona. For the chachamim, once you're dealing with two brachas rishonos, then it doesn't matter. And for Rabbi Yehuda also, it no longer matters at that point. If you're talking about two brachos, what are you talking about? Kedima. It doesn't matter. Because the chacham certainly doesn't matter. Who cares? That's why, and you don't even know Rabbi Yehuda that matters. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're only one making, when you talk about one single bracha, what would Rabbi Yehuda's position be? Because why would he say, even if there's no bracha chrona, if you're eating pasta afterwards, why would he say you have to make a bracha on the Shiva Sabina? Something in the value of the shiva saminim, the batch is to get the bracha. Right? But and the chachamim say no, it's just a question of bracha rishona being connected to bracha achrona. Once you're talking about ein berachos hayam shavos, assuming you're making two brachos, so then it could be that neither is one of them.
neither one of them subscribes to the notion that you have to make them the Shem Shemini first.
In fact, when you think about the text of the Mishnah, I don't know why this just hit me. I think I realized this. I have a memory in my head. It's not from 15 years ago. It must be from when I taught this occasion. I told you, there's a machlokas whether it's one bracha or two brachas. Brachosei and Shabbos for the moment. Or ein brachosei and Shabbos. The machlokas of the Bavli. What's pshat in the Mishnah? Look at the Mishnah again. Take a look at the Mishnah. And you tell me, is the Mishnah talking about one bracha that you make or two brachas? Unless you know the Mishnah Balfe, your eyes should not be anywhere at me or in the sky. It should be on that Mishnah. And what's pshat in the Mishnah? Lewis?
Originally, I thought it was in different brachos, but now I'm thinking it's saying it's a love.
Thank you. Shat in the Mishnah is a love from the Mevarech. In fact, it is exceedingly difficult to understand the man, the Amar, who says that they would argue b'she'en b'chosem Shabbos. Now, he would just say, well, they argue also by b'she'en b'chosem Shabbos. That the Mishnah is talking about one case, but you could extend the machlokas, which is fine. But that means that in order to extend the machlokas, you have to have a different understanding of what the machlokas was. Right? Ula says, machlokas b'chosem Shabbos. Al-Eim b'chosem Shabbos, ha'kol mod al-Eisem b'shutza yivarech. There are so many layers buried in this.
Yeah.
Think about it. Now, I'm thinking already in the Bavli, how this plays out. Okay. So now coming back to Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says that you always have to make a bracha achrona. You always have to make a bracha. You have fruits, even if you're going to have pas, there's a bracha achrona. So if that's the case, he cannot say the kind of thing that Rabbi Shulvin Levi said. Because for him, there's always a bracha achrona of Me'ein Shalosh on the Shiva Saminu. Always. And yet, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. You can't limit the case of the Chachamim disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda to a case where it was achal pas achrona and there's no bracha achrona. Because there's always a bracha achrona. Which means he has to understand, so again, he has to understand my focus completely differently. Completely differently. Right? The Chachamim, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, the Chachamim believe that you can't have a bracha achrona disassociated from the bracha rishona. And Rabbi Yehuda believes that Shivas Amin are inherently more deserving of brachas. That's according to Rabbi Shimon Levi. And therefore, when you have two brachas to make, both the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda could very well be modeh. Right? It's only a machlokas kishabir chosehem shavos, where you only get one bracha rishona. So if you have a bracha achrona, chachamim say, yeah, you have to make the bracha rishona shavos amina, but if you don't have a bracha achrona, then you don't need to. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. If there's only one bracha, it's pasnish, too. That's a great line across the Yiddish and Hebrew. It's not bread. If you have only one bracha to make, you've got to make another Shem Samir. Kedima, who cares? Doesn't matter. You make whichever one you want first. That's Kishay Bracha Seim Shabbos. But that, I believe, is how the Bavli presenting Ula reads Rabbi Yishuv and Levi. That's how Ula read Rabbi Yishuv and Levi. That Machlokas Kishay Bracha Seim Shabbos. I mean, Kishay Seim Shabbos. Ein Bracha Seim Shabbos. So everybody's good. But what about Rabbi Abba? So Rabbi Abba says that you always make a bracha achrona. So the Chachamim have to say that even though you're making a bracha achrona, even though you always make a bracha achrona, you still can make the bracha rishona on whichever one you want, on the chavuv or shiurz. And you can't say that the Chachamim's debate is limited to cases of Birchosehem Shavos, like Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, because you can't say at the Chacham Lasher Gol. You can't say the Chacham Mamuda that the Bracha Rishona has to be connected to the Bracha Chona. Because Rabbi Abba says that you always require a Bracha Achrona. Now here is the question. And by the way, the next line in the Yerushalmi is going to be a beast. As the Torah Moshe understood. He has two ways of reading it. But for the moment, in theory, so therefore, what does Rabbi Abba hold? The problem is Rabbi Abba doesn't tell us what he thought about the Mishnah. What we know is that for Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is a kimp that's impossible. The question is, what does Rabbi Abba hold about the scope of the machlokas of Yudim Chachamim? Now be very careful here. I suggested to you that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's only a machlokas when birchoseihem shavos and you're eating bread afterwards. But if ein birchoseihem shavos, then the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda don't even talk about the issue. They're not arguing about the issue. In fact, arguably, it's not in the Mishnah. It's not being discussed by the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is talking about the pshat is birchoseihem shavos, because Allah will mevarech. There's only become a one bracha. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the machlokas is limited to cases when you're eating bread afterwards, where you don't have to make a bracha achrona on the Shiva Saminim, on anything you ate before. So Rabbi Abba, who says that you have to make a bracha on the Shiva Saminim, obviously cannot make such an ukimta in the machlokas of the Chachamim. The question is, what does Rabbi Abba hold? There are two possibilities. In terms of the scope of the machlokas of the Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rani?
It pushes to that if there's Shavuot, then
Since you're making an akhara anyways, then you know that it's connected to the mean shiraz, so do whatever you want, and it doesn't really matter. I wouldn't have said that. One approach is to say, that's correct, that is one approach, let me say it this way, is that the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda across the board. And even when you have a bracha achrona that's not disconnected, that's not connected directly to the bracha rishona, they don't care. It's just not one of their principles. Now, presumably, they would... So it could be that they argue across the board b'shebir choseihem shavos. What would they hold by in b'shebir choseihem shavos? Shimon?
It could be that they don't argue there, that Rabbi Yehuda is moda to them that you can do it on whichever one you want.
Or
it could be that there's an argument there too about Kadima.
Okay, so the question is, so between the two of you, that's correct. In other words, what's clear is they argue by Birchoseihem Shavos across the board. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's not necessarily true. You could say that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda across the board on when with Birchoseihem Shavos, because the Chachamim are concerned about. In other words, the point of dispute that Rabbi Abba has with Yeshua ben Levi is whether or not you require bracha achrona. If you do require bracha achrona, he might say that the Chachamim are moda to Rabbi Yehuda. That you need a connection between the bracha rishon and the bracha achrona, and therefore the whole machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is only kedima by ein birchoseihem shavos.
Okay.
Alternatively, you could say that Rabbi Abba disagrees with Yeshua ben Levi that only on the bracha achrona issue, but what grows out, what comes out of that bracha achrona issue, is now the Chachamim are totally going to disregard Rabbi Yehuda's concern about Bracha Rishona, totally disregard the concern about Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona. That might be Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. That he doesn't like Bracha Rishona being discussed for Bracha Achrona. The Chachamim says, who cares? And it might be that by Birchoseihem Shavos, Rabbi Yehuda's loaded to the Chachamim, because if there's no need, if there's no Bracha Achrona that's disconnected from Bracha Rishona by Ein Birchoseihem Shavos, so then Rabbi Yehuda would know that the Chachamim. You have a plethora of possibilities. I think we have three there. Now, before we even... am I inflicting torture upon you?
No, you're just bringing to attention the torture already being affected by your child.
It's a mild torture.
Okay. Make a new kayer. Okay. So then, we have to, for the moment, we have to read the next step, though. Oy. Okay, but let me just throw a hand grenade on the floor for a second. There is another piece that I have deliberately glossed over that could, you know, upend everything. What does the Yerushalmi think about a bracha on ha'adama when you tend to eat potatoes and apples, pottering the very Kriya Eitz on the apples? Yeah.
From the position of the Sufi of the it seems to me that there's a Shita of Yerushalmi that it is potter.
The Bar Kapara story implies that when they were sitting there and thinking, well, if we make a bracha on the kaplutin, it will pater the achbayana, but it won't pater the parhios. So the implication is that if you made a bracha bari priadama on the kaplutin, you would not make a bracha on the achbayana. That's what the implication is. Oh, it's not like Rashi's going to say in the Bavli that if it's one thing to make a bori priadama on an apple, it's another thing to make it on a potato and say that pater's the apple. If you made the wrong bracha on the apple because the bracha covers the apple, you're yotzei. So this story of Bar Kapara, in the Bavli you can't tell anything, I think. But in the Yerushalmi, the story of Bar Kapara suggests that it would in fact pater. So...
Let's say I eat on two apples, right?
If
I say I eat on one apple, obviously it's
going to
potter the second apple because
it's potter
by
ha'etz. So yes, because ha'etz is the bracha for the apple.
But
that's a
hesed chadat. Is there anything bracha for the apple and something that's potter by the bracha?
There's a difference between what you're supposed to do a chatzila and the apple.
Okay.
So the again, you're going to come up with the same. You could ask the same question, but I'm not. And you could make chiluk or not. Let's say you were really thirsty. Before the meal, you drank water, you made a shakal. Does that pater everything else you eat, including the bread? Why not?
Yes,
you can. We pass the meal for that.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah,
but is that true that here, when we're talking about hadama not working on another hadith, just because of a separate issue of intention, not like a din in bracha, and the din in the bracha, though?
So, in Rashi, intention matters. If I intended to make a bori priadama on this apple, I'm yotze. That bracha goes to the apple, and if the bracha in theory covers the apple, I'm yotze. If I make a bracha on a banana, and I'm eating an apple, also, so that bracha wasn't intended to go on the apple, and it's not the bracha intended for the apple. Right? What emerges from the Yerushalmi potentially is that once you make a bracha akolelas, you cannot make a bracha that's more specific. No, you might limit it to bari priyadama. It's not impossible.
But that would imply, well, this thing would imply that it's not an intention thing, because we see that shahazo is meaning there's something problematic about something so kolelas inherently. While hadama.
What the Yerushalmi never said, and that's the question, was making the bracha on the pargios was because lo tam basa miyam of the bar from the Bavli, or was it because his chachma was, oh, I'll make a shako and I potter everything?
Yeah, so I was going to ask, it sounds like it's a gabayla for to be pottered more things.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So it makes sense. Like, okay, it's a shako, and that's like the most. But then it's not like that's the best breath of all time. Popping out.
So I want to. So Eitan, to respond to your observation, while you might make a chiluk, is the same. Is a big machlokas that we showed in our sugya. Tosis is going to quote this. Is going to quote it. Tosus asks the question. He reads at least the beginning of our sugya in the Bavli, that if you have a Borei Pri HaEitz and a Borei Pri HaDama fruit, and Mevarech al Eitzim en Shiyirtzeh, it doesn't matter which bracha you make first. You can make HaEitz on the apple first and then HaDama on the banana, or you can make HaDama on the banana first, and it doesn't in any way inhibit you making a bracha on the apple, nor is there a preference for it. But Tosis says, I don't understand, the Gemara earlier that we just talked about, not the story, Bar Kapara, Adlam et Hesem and Aleph, implies that you have to make a bracha on HaDama before you make the bracha on Shahako. So Tosa says, because the gap is not as big. Right? In other words, Shahakol is such a generic bracha. It's like, it's the analog to apologies. When you apologize, you don't just say, I'm sorry. You explain what you're sorry for. Tzarech l'chari is a chait. So Shahakol is so parv. It is so like, thanks God for everything.
That's so sweet.
As opposed to Borei Pri HaEitz, Borei Pri HaDama. Right? Here, Eitan, if you want to choose the reductio ad absurdum, for Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that on lettuce you make Borei Minei D'Shayin, if you said Borei Pri HaDama on a potato and you were eating lettuce too, would you have to make a Borei Minei D'Shayin on the lettuce? We don't know the answer to that question. Obviously. There's no discussion of it. But you could see, right, you could see why. That in that case, you might say, it's Pri HaAdama. So in that sense, if you just extrapolate that out to Borei Pri HaAdama, looking at Borei Pri HaEitz, you could see why somebody might say, look, if you're having an apple alone, you're supposed to make a Borei Pri HaEitz. But if you're having an apple and you're having a banana, and you make a Borei Pri HaAdama on the banana, and maybe you should, because maybe you don't want to make a Bracha Shein Tzricha. Or not. That's a question. That issue comes up. So you make the Borei Pri HaAdama on the banana, and the Pri HaEitz is included in the Borei Pri HaAdama. All you were eating was the apple, the chatzili is supposed to make a Borei Pri HaEitz. You don't say the Borei Pri HaAdama. But if you're eating an apple and a banana, you're eating Peiros HaAdama, you make a bracha on the Borei Pri HaAdama, you eat the banana, which is the bracha mufuveris for that, and it covers the apples. That's crazy. And you might not say that by Shahako. You might not say by Shahako, although, again, that could be exactly what they're grappling with in the first Yerushalmi. Right, they say, okay, well, if you make a bracha on the achayani, you pata nafi. If you make a bracha on the kapluta, and you pata the achayana, but you don't pata the pargios. But wasn't it obvious why did, and the Talmud went, and he jumped to conclusions. Off a cliff, as it turns out. And why does Bar Kapara object? I think exactly this point, that there's a difference between Borei Pri HaAdama on a Borei Pri HaEitz and a Shahakol on the other stuff. Sure. If you had an apple, you said chocolate, you remember, you yotze.
Right.
So that is the question is, will that play any role in the sugya in the Yerushalmi? I'm not sure. I've chosen to pretend that doesn't exist. And that may make everything fall apart and require a new solution. Okay. You have a chance, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow, there is no sichas masot.
Okay, that's